Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Mobile Podcast. Mobile Podcast gives you exclusive insights into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Simon Clark, and in this edition, we'll speak with Dr. Debbie Roker, co-director of the Trust for the Study of Adolescence, about their research on the role of mobile phones in family communication. The Trust for the Study of Adolescence is a British-based charity focusing exclusively on working with teenagers and young adults to improve their lives. Established in 1989, the TSA has helped to improve the lives of young adults by conducting research, producing resources guides, training professionals, and lobbying policymakers. The TSA's work with young adults includes health and emotional well-being, learning and education, parenting and family life, youth social action and participation, and youth justice. Mobile Podcast is honoured to have the TSA's Dr. Debbie Roker as our guest. Debbie recently completed a project on mobile phone use in families that was funded by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. I spoke earlier with Debbie by phone from her office in Brighton in the UK. Debbie, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
If I could start with the nature of the research that the TSA is doing. You're researching how mobile phones are used in family communication. Can you tell us the aim of the study and why this is important?
Well, a few years ago, my charity, TSA, did a study into monitoring and supervision in families. So we were looking at how families communicate about young people's activities and how they negotiate young people's arrangements. And we found that mobile phones were a key feature of how families communicate and how they make arrangements. And this was something that had never really been explored before. So we were delighted to get grants from the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association to have a look at this issue further. So the aim of the study was to investigate how mobile phones are used in family communication. And we did this by interviewing young people between the ages of 11 and 17 and at least one of their parents or carers from the same family. So in total, we spoke to 130 people about this issue.
Now, we all know that kids, teenagers use mobile phones for socialising with each other, but have you found any particularly beneficial applications for use of mobiles within family communication?
Well, yes, we did. The majority of the young people we spoke to used their phone mainly for socialising and for catching up with friends. Although, interestingly, that was much more so for the girls and the young women in the study than for the boys and the young men. However, all the young people felt that mobile phones were really useful in relation to their families. And this was in two main ways. Firstly, mobiles enabled young people just to let their parents know about changes of plans. So, for example, if they'd missed the bus home or they were going to be late from school. And that was really important. But secondly, some young people texted their parents to say something that they didn't feel able to say face-to-face. So, for example, that they were being bullied at school. And this tended to break the ice and enabled then the face-to-face communication to happen.
I think I read one report of a teenager who, from within the home, texted the parent to break some news that was uncomfortable. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. That happened to a couple of the young people in the study who said that they had an issue that was worrying them and they really just felt they wanted to let their parents know, they wanted to be able to discuss it with somebody but simply couldn't broach the topic. So, yes, they texted about difficult issues, about things that they were worried about, and then often the parents would say, go up to the bedroom and then talk about the difficult issue and try and find some way to resolve it. So, yes, so for some of the young people, it was a really important way of tackling different difficult emotional issues.
So that's mobiles as communication enablers, if you like. But what about access to mobile phones for emergency use? How important is it that teenagers can use mobile phones for personal security purposes?
Well, this was a really important feature of mobile phone use. And indeed, all of the parents and all of the young people in our study mentioned this. So mobile phones were used as a lifeline, and that was a word that most people in the study mentioned. They said that mobile phones enabled young people to contact parents, or if necessary, they were able to contact the police or other emergency services. And both young people and parents described how they felt very reassured if young people had their mobile phone with them, in that they could get help if they were lost, if a car broke down, or indeed if they were the victim of a crime. And indeed, most of the interviewees said that they felt mobile phones were now an essential part of modern life for this reason, primarily because it helped young people to keep safe.
So these are the real positives and benefits, but there are also a few concerns, aren't there, like cyberbullying and addiction to phones. Do the benefits of mobile phone ownership for teenagers outweigh these potential negatives?
Well, in our study, we found that the vast majority of young people and parents did feel that the benefits of mobile phones outweighed the negatives. However, most of the interviewees did acknowledge that there were problems and difficulties in relation to mobile phones. And so some parents, for example, talked about their sons and their daughters retreating into a private world, and they worried that they couldn't keep an eye on their children's friends and their relationships in a way that they could when there was a landline in a more public place in the centre of the home. And parents and young people also talked about the rise in unpleasant, violent incidents that are recorded on mobile phones and then circulated. And in particular, young people and parents also talked about fear of mugging for their mobile phones. And young people also talked about peer pressure, and peer pressure to have the best and the most up-to-date phone. Although, as I've said, all of the young people did acknowledge these difficulties, but still said that the benefits of mobile phones far outweighed these negatives.
Now, one of the quandaries, I guess, for parents is, and I remember this was the case with my children when they were younger, is trying to figure out what age is the appropriate age at which to make a phone available to your kids. In light of your research, can you give some advice to parents on this issue?
Well, it's a very important question. In our study, the vast majority of parents said that their child was asking to have a mobile phone around the age of 11 or 12. And in addition, many of the parents and carers themselves wanted their child to have access to a mobile phone at this age. And this was because the young people were starting to be out of the home more at this age. They were travelling around independently to school and to social events, and they were spending more time out of the home with friends. So parents often felt that their child needed a mobile phone for safety reasons at that age. So as an organisation, we can't advise parents on this issue, but we can say that age 11 or 12 was the most common age to get a mobile phone in this study, particularly in relation to ensuring a child's safety.
Now, in your research, you've spoken with parents about their children's use of mobile phones. Can you say overall what sorts of things parents have been saying about their children using a mobile?
Well, there were some interesting findings here. Many parents commented on the different world that young people are growing up in now compared to the parents' own experiences. So, for example, whilst a few parents were very competent in using their mobile phones, many of the parents in this study really struggled with their own mobiles, particularly in relation to texting. So some parents even talked about their children having to show them how to use their mobiles. But many parents, as I said earlier, also talked about how reassuring it was for them if their young person had a mobile with them when they were out of the home.
Are you able to say, as a result of your research, what sorts of factors influence how mobile phones are used in family communication?
Yes, well, there was a number of different factors that came out in our study, two particular ones. Firstly, mobile phones were mainly used by young people in relation to their friends and their peers, and mainly for practical reasons in relation to parents. So, as I said earlier, letting parents know that they'd be late coming home or checking arrangements with parents. And secondly, girls were much heavier users of mobile phones than boys, using them to chat and to keep in touch with friends, whereas boys mainly use them just for practical reasons, just very short conversations to make arrangements, for example. But beyond that, There were relatively few distinguishing patterns in mobile phone use. So, for example, the patterns of use and people's attitudes were quite similar in rural areas and in urban areas, and between less and more well-off families.
And finally, are there any practical implications here or applications of your findings? Perhaps I could ask what recommendations you might have for the mobile phone industry and what the industry might be able to do to help family communication.
Okay. Well, it's difficult for us to make any specific recommendations from this study for the mobile phone industry, but we can say that mobile phone use is now a key feature of family communication in many countries across the world, and that this is likely to continue. The people that we spoke to were very positive about mobile phones in terms of enabling young people to do more, to go further away from the home, and crucially, to keep themselves safe. But one thing that I would add, however, which is quite interesting, is that we know from ours and other people's research in this area that many young people are now seeking help and advice via their mobile phones. So, for example, getting money and careers advice, information and support in relation to their health. So supporting this development would be very beneficial to young people's health and well-being.
Debbie, it's a really interesting subject and one that affects just about everyone with a mobile, I guess. So if I could say thank you very much for joining us on the program, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Dr. Roker for taking her time to appear on the program, and we'd also like to thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the 11th episode produced in December 2008. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.mmfai.org/mobilepodcast or www.gsmworld.com/health. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, howsoever referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speakers alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.